The guy I call the most underrated Canadian athlete of all time, Daniel Nestor, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. How does that grab you, Daniel Nestor?
I don't know. That's up to you to say. I don't think I've won 12 Grand Slams. I've only won 8. Mixed doubles doesn't count. So.
Oh, mixed doubles doesn't count. You just throw those out. So when you win a mixed doubles slam, you just kind of leave the trophy at the event.
No, you keep the trophy, but you just don't brag about it.
All right.
Oh, I would.
Wow.
we're both very, very different. Daniel, obviously you're getting set for the Rogers Cup. I mean, you've been there, done that. Where are you at right now and getting ready?
Just hitting a little bit. Actually, going to hit with me a little bit right now at Tennis Canada. And I'm playing Washington next week. And that's a 500 series tournament before the Rogers Cup. So hopefully get some matches in there.
You're back with your old partner, Nenad Zimonjic. Talk about that relationship you have with him, and how did you guys get to, what was the decision-making there to get back together?
Well, we've had a pretty good season. We've been consistent. We've won a couple Masters. Haven't really played as well as we'd like in the Grand Slams, but, we're number two in the race, and the Bryans are, as usual, number one, but they haven't won any Grand Slams this year, so it's been a little bit strange, but... Yeah, at the end of last year, Ned had asked me to play. I was planning on playing this year with Bacek, but he was struggling with his back a little bit, and I don't think he could make a full commitment to both singles and doubles, so I thought it was a safer bet to play with Zimonjic. And Bacek, of course, proved me wrong at Wimbledon.
Well, so in playing with different partners, Daniel, is that overblown where you say, oh, you have to get used to a new partner or maybe an old partner that you play again with another opportunity to do so? Or is that something overblown, or is it like, whatever? I mean, I've played with these guys. I've played with a number of different men and women. It really isn't something to worry about.
No, actually it is important. I mean, you do have partners over your career where things just click, and that's happened for me with, the guys that I've done well with, like Zimonjic and Knowles and even Sebastian Leroux. But then others where, you're struggling a little bit, it's tough to make that adjustment. And, you know, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, and obviously you have to find the right person to complement what you do well and what you don't do so well. And fortunately for me, I've had a lot of good partners over the years, but, especially last year, I had a hard time finding the right partner, and, it was a tough year. But at the same time, I wasn't playing great tennis, especially the first half of last year, so I'm sure my partners that I did choose wouldn't have been happy with me either. So, it's tough, but, one thing in doubles that you never really appreciate how good you have it, and you'll find a lot of guys thinking it's the grass is greener on the other side, and then they switch to a new partner and things don't go as well. And it's tough out there, but I think it's a lesson, life lesson, that you should appreciate what you have, right?
Daniel,
when things are going well, especially.
Daniel, you mentioned the Bryan brothers, and they speak extremely highly of you, saying you're one of the greatest doubles player, if not the greatest doubles player of all time, and you're 41 and you're still getting it done. How the hell do you keep getting it done at age 41, Daniel Nestor?
Well, I mean, definitely pay more attention to fitness, the last 5-10 years, and just trying to stay in good shape. I think the tennis part, I pretty much mostly have it figured out. I know my game style pretty well, and I know what I do well, and I know what, how to practice and how to, keep my confidence somewhat high. But it's more about staying in shape, especially when you get older and especially when you're playing against these younger guys. And that's always been a little bit of a challenge for me. I've never been physically as gifted as most of the guys on tour, so I have to, try and make up with it with, pretty decent hand-eye coordination and, trying to spend that extra time in the gym. Maybe even more than some of the other guys.
Seeing the success at Wimbledon of Pospisil and Bouchard and Raonic, do you keep in touch with them throughout those tournaments, maybe check in on them? Do you have any words of wisdom for them at those times, or do you try to kind of back off and let them reach out to you if necessary?
With Bacek, I have the best relationship. We've played doubles together over the years for Davis Cup, and, we're both similar personalities, so we get along pretty well. And, during his run at Wimbledon, he would ask me about his opponents, and obviously I played all these guys so many times, so I tried to give him a little bit of advice. But as far as Milos, he's pretty well set, and, he's got a great head on his shoulders, and, he's really focused, and he knows what he has to do, and it's a little different to, playing at the highest levels of singles and playing at the highest levels of doubles. So, he has a coach that's been top 10 in singles. So, I don't really have that much to give him. But always if he wants to chat about anything, I'm available. But someone like Bouchard, I don't know that well. I don't even know if she knows who I am, but she's done so well. She's a female version of Milos. I mean, they're so tough mentally, both of them, especially her on the women's tour. I think she's the toughest mentally by far of the other girls. And it's going to result in a lot of trophies for her.
I'll say it again. The most underrated Canadian athlete of all time, Daniel Nestor, here on the Jeff Blair Show with Jeff Salmon. My name is George Rusick. Daniel, we're hearing all this talk, and you mentioned you're about to have a hit with Milos Raonic, and a lot of people saying Novak Djokovic, he's got the biggest and greatest serve right now in men's tennis. Is that the best serve you've ever seen?
I think so. I mean, it's so impressive. I mean, he was hitting Federer with a serve on some of those body serves in the semifinal Wimbledon. I've never seen Federer, look so frazzled at times when returning a serve. And he follows it up with such a good second serve, too, and he can just do whatever he wants with the ball, whatever spin. And, I've played some of the top players in the world, but just the pace and the variety, it's hard to call it the best because I think that might be a little bit unfair to, a Sampras or some of the other guys, but if you were to ask me, I would say it's the best, and I think he's got so much potential, and he's going to be around for a long time.
Daniel, do you anticipate, as we do, a new generation of tennis players here in this country, thanks to your success and of course those that we've spoken of already?
Well, I think since Milos made its breakthrough and, tennis has gotten more and more popular the last few years, and now Bouchard, I think for sure. I think they've had a great thing going at the National Tennis Center in Montreal. They've hired some of the best coaches around the world, and they have a world-class training facility. More and more people are playing tennis, more and more people are talking about tennis, so you would think just from that obviously more kids are going to be involved, and, we're going to have more and more opportunities to see some of the best young athletes we have in this country playing tennis. So you would think that that's going to result in a lot of players coming through the ranks in the next 5 to 10 years.
Daniel, the historic success you guys had last year in Davis Cup, making it all the way to the semifinals, ultimately losing in Belgrade to Serbia. What's your plans moving forward for Davis Cup, and are we going to see you representing Canada still for the next, hopefully, few years?
Well, that's definitely one of the reasons why I keep playing. I think we have an opportunity to win the Davis Cup, and that would be an amazing thing for Canadian tennis, for myself, for everyone involved. And, I don't think people realize how close we were last year because, we had that 2-1 lead at Serbia. If we managed to win one of those matches on Sunday, Tipsarevic, he hasn't really played much since he won that match. That was a huge win for him, but he got injured. I don't know if he was injured during that tie, but he hasn't really played in the last 9 months, so maybe a little bit unfortunate for us that he was in top form in that match. But if we win that match and we play Czech at home, and Bacek had beaten Stefanik and Berdych at the Canadian Open, Milos has beaten both those guys, I like our chances in doubles, and that was so close for us. But we got to start all over again. We got to win in September against Colombia, which is a very difficult match. And I think if we're all healthy and we're all committed to playing, if we get the right draw and a few matches at home and, don't have to play Spain on the road or something like that, then, I think we can compete with anyone.
Daniel, would you like to see maybe the competition move to maybe play a match here in Toronto? We see Vancouver's probably the favorite destination for you guys, but is there talk that maybe you guys should spread it around the country a little more, maybe play out east or right here in the GTA?
Well, we are playing our next tie in Halifax. I think the consensus is that, Toronto, Montreal get tennis every summer with the Rogers Cup, and, it's only fair to try and move it around as much as possible to have such high-level tennis around the country and promote the sport and hopefully get kids excited. And so, depending on, who we play at what time of year, for sure, it's my town growing up. Milos grew up here, and most of the guys on the team. So we'd love to play a big tie in Toronto in the near future.